Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Check the headlines. It's definitely stacking up to be a global summit's worth of issues facing the president-elect in the next 74 days. 74 days, hey, how about 7 days? Today, China announced a perhaps quarter of a trillion dollar domestic stimulus package that is partly for China's consumption, but also is all about rescuing the global financial system, or at least the global economy struggling with recession. And Russia, moments after Barack Obama was elected, actually created a confrontation that the president-elect will have to deal with almost immediately on missile defenses in Europe. Joining us now to talk about both of these things, they're both worthy of a summit on their own, is Jeffrey Mankoff, who is adjunct fellow for Russian studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and a postdoc associate at the International Security Studies Center at Yale University. Jeffrey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, on the line from Shanghai is David Barboza, New York Times reporter, our partner, the New York Times. David, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
David, let's begin with the China stimulus package. I mean, this is an enormous example of China's economic clout. And I wonder how much is domestic and how much is for sort of global consumption.
Well, this is mostly the way they've announced it for domestic consumption and to get the economy in China going. Now, hopefully that'll also have something to do with the global economy. At least they're hoping is that they'll do their part for the global economy by keeping China chugging along. And much of the growth in the global economy may be coming from China, so they need to keep it, the consumption going here and the investment going here in China's booming economy on track.
Now, in the United States, if growth, you know, is at 2-3%, we're like, you know, having parties in the streets. In China, it's a completely different calculus. If growth falls below 8%, they have serious worries about domestic tranquility. How does that work?
That's right. They've had growth accelerating up to about 12% earlier this year. And now they're back down to 9% and worried that that's going to dip down to 7 or even 6%, which they haven't had in about 7 or 8 years. And the worry in China is that the country is being transformed. And if the growth slows down dramatically, that big push of moving rural farmers into the big cities and the transformation that's been going on will somehow come unhinged and people might start to get angry about not seeing their incomes grow and not being able to move onto better jobs.
David, this is an enormous proposal. Two questions. One, is there any sense that perhaps the Chinese economy is worse off than Chinese officials have indicated? And second of all, it certainly took a lot of analysts by surprise, this nearly $500 billion.
Yeah, I think on the first one, there have been lots of analysts looking at China from a lot of different ways, not only the government statistics, but doing their own surveys. And often some of the analysts had believed that China was downplaying how strong the growth was in the country. I think there are worries that the growth is slowing so rapidly and that consumer confidence and investor confidence is drying up pretty quickly in the last couple of months. But I don't think anyone believes that it's slowed much more than has been announced or the figures that they're seeing. So I think, you know, they believe that China is still growing, but the worry is that just that it will slow down so fast and that'll just, you know, careen toward 4 or 5%.
And indeed, David, it's hard to have a window into the Chinese economy with the yuan not being fully convertible and also the arrangements that the government has made with various kinds of industries in the country. But you make a good point, and it does appear as though this is all about domestic tranquility, at least in the short term. Jeffrey Mankoff, let's bring you into this discussion for a moment. Why is the missile defense issue the number one priority, if we're to believe Medvedev, the Russian president, in dealing with the new Barack Obama administration?
The Russians have been a little bit neuralgic about this proposed missile defense system ever since it was first put forward by President Bush several years ago. Of course, the system, according to its designers, is being put in place in order to stop the launch of ballistic missiles from rogue regimes in the Middle East, by which they mean particularly Iran. Now, it would deal only with sort of intermediate-range missiles, so things coming from Iran targeted at Europe. There's always been a lot of question as to whether that was a realistic scenario, both technologically and politically, because, you know, it seems that the reasons the Iranians would have for wanting to launch missiles at Europe are a little bit dubious.
But the way that's playing out this week is you've got the proposal already on the books for the U.S. deploying. Now the Russians have said, okay, we're going to put missiles in Poland or near Poland. Now the latest response from Russia is, well, hey, we won't even bother to do this if Barack Obama decides not to deploy this. What kind of a response would you have to something like this?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of this has to do with American domestic politics as well, because the Democrats have long been skeptical about the utility of stationing this missile defense platform in Poland and the Czech Republic. And I think what the Russians are trying to do is put pressure on Obama to back down from installing the system. Part of the problem, though, is that they're doing it in such an in-your-face kind of way that, you know, now President-elect Obama has been kind of backed into a corner on this. He can't be seen to be backing down in the face of Russian pressure by immediately going out and canceling the system, even though I think he and a lot of the Democratic Party have a fair degree of skepticism about both the utility and the effectiveness of the system.
Well, Jeffrey, what about just ignoring it? And that's what most of the world did when Medvedev tried to set up this so-called Asian alliance supporting their invasion of Georgia. The rest of the world just ignored it. Oil prices dropped 40%, and now, poof, nobody even remembers it.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly a possibility. I think, you know, the Eastern Europeans, the Poles in particular, are going to be pressuring the United States very strongly into following through with their commitment to station this platform in their territory, in part because they do see it as a kind of guarantee against Russian interference in their political affairs and against Russia's ability to pressure them. And so if President-elect Obama is going to pull out of the system, he's going to find himself under enormous
pressure
from American allies in Eastern Europe.
Well, let me bring David Barboza into this. From the Chinese perspective, where there's plenty of coverage of Russia's intention to raise its profile on the world stage, I'm wondering if there's a bit of an echo here. If China makes all of these gains economically in its dealings with the United States, does that reduce the amount of leverage for the new administration in pushing for traditional kinds of Chinese human rights reforms, and that Barack Obama is going to be sandbagged on the Chinese front as well as on the Russian front, as Jeffrey Mankoff is pointing out?
Right. I mean, certainly China's influence in the world is growing, and its economy is growing, and actually it has a stranglehold on a lot of American assets, a lot of American dollars, and so they certainly are going to have a lot more clout with the next administration than they had with the former administration, although they had a good relationship in many ways with the Bush administration. But there are still trade issues, and that could resurface under President Obama, because that's one of the things he's talked about is trade with China and whether jobs are coming to China. So there's going to be some tangling going on, but certainly if the Chinese economy is backing up strong with this stimulus package and the U.S. economy is weak, China's influence is going to rise that much faster.
Do you see any sort of China-Russia conflict on an issue on the defense sphere like this missile defense issue going on now between the Russians and the Americans on the European frontier?
I don't. I haven't heard anything about that. I think that's unlikely.
All right. Finally, Jeffrey, there's some talk that Putin might actually reassert himself into the prime ministership. Any suggestion that that would be something that would take place in the early months of the Obama administration?
Into the presidency, I think.
He's going to come back. Medvedev is going to back out. How would that work?
Well,
It's kind of a rumor.
Yeah. I mean, Medvedev spoke during his State of the Nation address the day after President-elect Obama was elected in this country, suggesting that one of the things that the Russian Duma, that is the parliament, should consider is extending the presidential term from 4 years to six. And it was widely reported in the Russian press at the time that this was a prelude to President Medvedev stepping down Mr. Putin
tantalizing when that's reported in Russia. Jeffrey Mankoff, thanks so much for being with us, talking about the early days of Russia versus the U.S. and David Barboza, the Chinese stimulus package, talking to us from Shanghai. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.